Okay, number eight, board may review, discuss, and take action on including additional data, details in the board's annual report to the governor in the section pertaining to unlicensed practitioners.
Madam Chair, I'll jump in on this. This was an item that a board member asked to be added to the agenda. And following that meeting, I went back and looked at our annual report, and we actually do already list the number of C cases, cease and desist, things like that. But what we don't add, which is I think something that was wanted, was another bullet point of how many responses do we get when we send things to the county attorney. So that was, do you all want me to add that to the board's annual report, to that extra bullet that says, do we get responses or not?
Ask you to do something additional.
Absolutely.
I think
Well, it's pretty easy to say no. Done.
Yes. So, okay.
But, I mean, if you can make a bold font zebra.
Yeah.
And that little box there.
Okay.
Thank you very much for doing that.
So we'll add that.
Yes.
Okay. Number nine, board may review, discuss, and take action on case C-2310 regards to Bridget Katie Patel, unlicensed practitioner.
This is one that was referred to us.
Yeah. Right, and then we checked in with Detective Krim and didn't have anything further, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, she had no further information. So.
So where was this person at? Do we know that?
Where was she?
Who was arrested?
Yeah, what part of?
Right in this.
Well, Heather Krim was Maricopa County, so.
Maricopa County, she's actually very close to this area.
Wait, the technician is or the detective is?
I think perhaps the lawyer really quoted.
2547 West Adams.
Oh, there we go, okay, yeah.
It's not a good neighborhood.
But I guess the question is, if she's bringing them into a rescue, is it then the rescue's animals, and is she giving vaccines to the rescue's animals?
But is it a real rescue, or is it just?
Well, it's a rescue.
Well, then there's no rules on what that is either.
I think she was also giving out to people after the point of adoption.
I'd want to see contracts instead of actually saying, okay, where is the surrendering, where is this? Because, yeah, that's just a little too much, because it does say an owned animal or an employee. So who owns the animals? So if you're not an employee, if you're not owning them, true.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that's where that law needs to change, honestly.
The detective from the county attorney.
Yeah, I think it will.
Okay, so what are we?
I think there's really, I mean, it.
We need to close it, or?
Probably, because, you know, we can always revisit it if she emerges.
Right.
Well, or if the detective gets any more information, actually, clients who are taking animals in, that she's paying them, I think if we can at least talk to the Detective Krim and just say, we appreciate this, we want this, but these are the things we truly need, because I don't want her to just think, oh, well, they suck and they don't care, so I'm never going to do this again.
Yeah,
okay.
I had a conversation.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So that's what, yeah, I just want to make sure, because I appreciate her bringing it to us. Unfortunately, we just don't have a whole lot of power. And vet tech is not a protected term here in Arizona, so it's very hard to do it just based on that alone. But if she finds more information, I would love to see it. Or on anybody else, she's always welcome to submit more.
So do I have a motion to close the case for now?
I move to close case C-2310.
Okay, motion, I will second that. All those in favor of closing the case, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion carries. Move on with item number 10. On to item number 11. Board may review, discuss, and take action to rescind December 14th, 2022 motion to open an investigative case against Velvet Edwards DBM, the complaint in case 2301, Don Archuleta. I get to leave this one. So,
make a motion to rescind.
Okay, thanks. Tina? Any further discussion, or I'll second that. Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor of rescinding that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion passes. Number 12, board may review, discuss, and take action on Mission Veterinary Partners premise license applications for Noes, is it Noes Ark?
Noes.
Noes Ark Animal Hospital. Hickory Groves Animal Hospital and Applewood Animal Hospital related to failure to timely submit new applications. Ms. Frost, you're the lead, and I'm sure Victoria has some info on it.
I'm gonna jump in. I mean, I've got things, so I'm not sure if I do the board. So for whatever reason, it's becoming a larger problem time and time again that these corporations are turning in applications in the timeframe that they should be doing. They are often telling the outgoing responsible vet that, hey, they'll take care of it. And so the responsible vet's not doing their part by notifying us. But in these particular cases, it seemed credible to me that the outgoing responsible vets had reason to believe that this company would take care of them. And they didn't. And it's, you know, as I said in my memo, it was the company that came forward and said, you know, a staff person there who said, hey, I think we haven't been keeping up with this. You know, can you help me with this? So so it's really, but they are, you know, very lengthy periods of time, you know, over a year, almost a year, and a couple of them where they should have made a change and they didn't. So it's kind of a question of what can we do about that and who would we hold responsible for that?
But it was interesting. So, because I was like, gosh, it's really annoying because it's only the responsible veterinarian, but I do have a question. I don't think we need executive session for it. But in the ARS code, it does say, hold on, I'm gonna pull it back up just because my notes are great. It says that ARS 3222, there's C and D, but D says responsible veterinarian or owner can have the fine for failure to comply. And
I'm
so
not, I'm not sure I read it that
way. Yeah, yeah, hold on. I'm gonna get the actual language. Hold on, I'm gonna set up the right up. So, a license is valid only for the responsible veterinarian to whom it is issued. A license is not subject to sale, assignment, or transfer, voluntary or involuntary. A license is not valid for any premise other than those for which issued. If there have been major changes in the scope of veterinary services offered, the premises are subject to reinspection. And then D says, a change of responsible veterinarian or owner shall cancel a premise license. The responsible veterinarian or owner shall surrender the premise license to the board within 20 days of the change in responsible veterinarian or owner. The failure of the responsible veterinarian or owner to notify the board in writing within 20 days of a change in responsible veterinarian or owner is grounds for disciplinary action.
So I want to, this, to me, this is often misunderstood.
Yeah.
It's a two-part duty. So the outgoing responsible vet, because that's the only responsible vet that exists, does have 20 days to notify the board.
Yes.
But the law also says you can't operate without being an applicant status or having a license. That means the new application needs to come in right on top of the change.
Right.
So that's why it's kind of extraneous that the responsible vet has 20 days, because we should have already known, because it should have come up right on top of the change, because it says a change of responsible vet or cancels the license.
Right. No, I'm not. That part to me isn't confusing. Yes, okay. It has to happen, but the responsible veterinarian or owner is subject to.
So this MVP corporation
is subject
can be
to. Yeah, that's what. Hold on, and I gotta
find. No, they're not a licensee.
F.
It's at letter H.
Well, there's F and H, yeah. So H, F, I made a note about because they have to have within 90 days the initial application, and B, but it can be denied due to deficiencies. Well, if there isn't one, there is a deficiency, so can't you revoke that premise from operating? Yes, no, okay. And then H, responsible veterinarian, is if the responsible veterinarian is only an employee, the premises owner is subject to a civil penalty of not more than $1,000 for each violation.
So if the responsible veterinarian's an employee, then the owner has to pay the violation, according to H.
So we can regulate owner?
Well, for this piece, they...
Send them a bill for each one of those hospitals.
$1,000.
For each violation.
Yeah.
And there's technically a few violations.
We've done that years and years ago.
Years ago, we were...
With Banfield, I think.
But it, technically, there's a few violations, and it's the owner, and...
If we don't start grabbing, if we don't start regulating, we're not going to be able to regulate.
If you can't do anything else, start issuing violations.
If they want to get into the realm of medicine, they need to understand what they're doing. If they're just trying to make a buck on these corporations about doing the right stuff, it's their own fault.
The thing that bothers me is that, so this one person reaches out November 22nd, still nothing's done. And then the chief veterinary officer reaches out on January 4th, and still nothing's done.
Right.
So it's clearly very important. I mean, come on.
So I just think at the, earlier I was having a hard time personally trying to connect that as a violation. So I don't know.
For not having an out-of-premise license?
If you're going to go down that path, I think you need to start at the beginning, and that would be to open up a complaint and give them an opportunity to respond.
Yeah, because they had a change of ownership January 1st, 2020, and then clearly renewed the premise with the wrong information in 2020 on Foothills Veterinary Hospital, because it wasn't figured out until December of 2021 when an inspector called to do a random inspection that they sold in December 1st, 2020. So they even renewed inappropriately. So there's all kinds of violations. So I'd love to have explanation, but you can find at least three on that.
So would it make sense to do, since you have those different scenarios for each of those, because they weren't all purchased and transitioned at the same time?
Yeah, they'd have to be each one separate.
Would you do separate cases?
Well, they're all different premise licenses, so
Yeah, case per license.
Is that right, Mark?
Yeah.
Well, here we go.
And is there not a one individual person that it would go to? Who would you send it to?
Well, it's the owner. It's the owner, the way if we go with ARS 3222H.
Well, we have to have a premise owner, right?
It is the same owner for all of them.
See, that's where it gets messy, right? Is it the person who was the responsible vet at the time? Is it the person who thought they were the responsible?
Yeah, I think it would just depend upon the application that they submitted and how they identified themselves.
You mean the newest application?
The application that was at the time that this occurred.
But there is the new application could have the name of responsible vet who had nothing to do with.
It says if the responsible veterinarian is an employee, it's the owner on H.
So we'd have to.
That's where we're going.
It's in the body, right? It says the owner of the premises on the application.
Yes,
it's on there.
But I think the step is to open up a complaint and notify them, give them an opportunity to respond.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to get to who did she send it to.
This is an unlicensed practitioner then? Would it be considered that? Because they're not licensed, the owner's not licensed by us.
But it says.
Yeah, I don't think that's. Yeah,
it says if the premises owner is subject to a civil penalty.
Yeah.
So it's to the premises owner.
Yeah. No, I understand that, but should it be a C case or a regular?
I think it's more of a board case. I mean, it's a hybrid, but it's not a C case.
Because
my understanding, C cases are all unlicensed. Are there other types of cases that go under them?
But they are technically an unlicensed practitioner right now.
We can try to find those
samples. Yeah, and that's just administrative, so whatever you want to identify.
Okay.
Can you get the new letter?
A new letter.
I will look back because I think it actually was an unlicensed case for Banfield years and years and years ago.
She doesn't want to dig through my archives.
That's a long time ago.
I'm gonna make a motion to open a case. Do I just say the premise name? Okay, so I make a motion to open a case against the owner of Fountain Hills Veterinary Hospital. So that's one.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
I'm going to do Bark Avenue Animal Hospital.
Okay, second. Motion in the second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion passes.
Then Noes Ark Animal Hospital.
Second.
Motion in the second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion passes.
Applewood Animal Hospital.
Second.
Sorry, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And Tigley Groves Animal Hospital.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes. Please let the record state that Dr. Thompson is leaving us.
Adios. Happy New Year.
Okay. We're on to number 13. Board may review, discuss, and take action on premise license inspection for issue for DCA Northwest Animal Hospital on Highland Road. Ms. Frost, you would leave.
Hold on a second.
Oh, yes. Okay, so kind of a two-part deal here. Okay. So for the first part, so there was a premise inspection. There was a response. However, and I might need a little bit of clarification, the response didn't really address everything completely, and it looks like there was communication sent out trying to clarify bits and pieces that weren't responded to, and we haven't heard anything back?
I got it yesterday.
You did? Oh, okay. I didn't see it.
And I'm fine with it. I didn't get it.
Oh, okay. And we're good now on those
on
pieces?
That part of it.
Okay, so first part. Second part is that there's an exorbitant amount of incomplete medical records from a previous veterinarian.
No, she still works there.
Oh, she does? Wow, I read that. Not that way. Okay. Okay, so she still works there. However, there's definitely a problem because that is a lot of medical records. I don't even know how you could possibly remember how to write up a medical record from 2019. Did any of you have like some super secret
powers? Right? I think you're gonna have to write them off that they're not gonna get written.
So
otherwise they're gonna be made up.
Yeah.
Well, it's gonna be falsifying documents.
Right, and so then what? Like what, I don't know, is there a then what? Is there any recommendation? Well,
there's an open a case.
Then what?
Then she
there's not
doesn't
a specific
take any more cases until she gets these done.
When you have to have them done by, it certainly could be a 5011 of, you know, like what's the standard of getting things. That's what you've done in the past. I can remember at least one case that was opened for the exact same reason, like 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, you mean, wasn't it just not too long ago?
Another one? I remember one of them that was
Maricopa
Oyen.
Or
Oyen?
I'm thinking of even another one.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember one from Maricopa Wells.
Yeah.
Oh, that was one.
Well, okay, then. I am going to make a motion to open a case for Ileana Alvarez Calderon due to incomplete medical records.
Second.
A motion and a second.
Why don't you say a little bit faster? You're taking too much time.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, number 14. Board may review, discuss, and take action on premise license applications and inspections.
I can't look at my email this morning.
Note that Dr.
James is my own recused.
If Mr. Lodi, if you don't mind, I'll jump in since I didn't get any documents up on this. So this is a very two-part complicated issue that I am not prepared to provide all the documents today because it's so complicated and lengthy. But in a nutshell, the application for B, the Tucson location, has been withdrawn. However, because of many issues that were happening there regarding it, I'd like to pin discussion about that to next month because it's part of this overall problematic case that's occurring. The inspection at the Peoria location, the inspection results are 3 pages long of tiny print. And so what I'm uncomfortable, even though they responded to almost everything, not comfortable having board approve that license until we go back again. So we pinned voting on that to approve that license until we go back and look at it again. And the other piece, the other major piece of this is that both these locations were operating weeks and weeks before applications were turned in, and veterinary services were being provided by electronic means without a VCPR in place, by at least one veterinarian who owns the practice as the responsible veterinarian became aware that that was not a good practice at the Peoria location, but continued to do it at the Tucson location. There was never a veterinarian at the Tucson location while it was operating for weeks and weeks. So
it was all telemedicine?
So yes. So this is that's why I apologize. I'm not ready to present all that information. So in the short run, the first action is just to go back to check Peoria to see if they've actually complied with the things that they said that they have.
So we're bringing it
back until February.
Now, okay. Just a question. Back towards the beginning of the pandemic, so long ago, we had fallen into a trap of if we didn't get inspections and approved within 90 days, it was automatically approved. Would that cause any kind of problems here?
I don't remember doing that. I'm not sure what you mean.
We couldn't get to the inspections in time, so we had to
No, they were virtual.
They had to saw. They
no,
had to
no. Saw. In the very beginning, we actually had some where we couldn't do it within 90 days.
Oh, and I was in the very beginning.
Yeah,
and
if we look back and see, I remember talking about cases where we couldn't get to them, so we had to automatically approve.
No,
I do remember that.
I thought we did a self-report inspection.
Yeah.
We did self-report, but towards the beginning, there was something where we couldn't get to. There was too many for us to do, and we couldn't get to them because there was traveling along with the state. I remember this conversation specifically.
No, because we wouldn't have met the time frame, and we would have had to refund their money.
Well, that was the problem, was the time frame. We had to just approve them. They had to get pushed through, basically.
We wouldn't have approved them. You can't approve them unless there's an inspection of some type, so we wouldn't have. So,
I'm gonna look back and see because all that stuff on
she's told you it right? Wouldn't get approved, but they would send their money back.
Yeah. No, I know, but there was something with we couldn't get to them in time, so we had to approve it still. I'm gonna look back and see, but I'll come back. I just want to make sure.
Okay, I don't know that it's relevant to this particular agenda item.
Okay.
So unless I'm missing something.
Yeah, I'll look back on the cases and see.
Is PetSmart Veterinary Services? Did you say that was a responsible veterinarian or the owner?
The owner is one particular person.
Is PetSmart?
It's Dr. Pickett. It's not PetSmart. It's not the owner. The owner of this particular premises is called.
Are you doing charters again? It is.
Jack. No. Vet.
Jet.
Vet.
What's it?
And that's Dr. Pickett, and she's the responsible vet.
For PetSmart Veterinary Services.
They cut that out for a long time.
So she owns several of these PetSmart Veterinary Services.
Oh, is it like a franchise?
Sort of, I think, in other states.
Oh, because I was like, PetSmart is like a very branded.
Yeah, so they used to have charter hospitals, and they took them all away. They forced everybody out of them. So, but anyway, that's internal.
Well, those were Banfield hospitals.
Yeah,
charters.
Oh, this is PetSmart, correct?
PetSmart, not
oh,
Banfield.
That's right. I forgot they were doing that. I'm sorry. Thank you.
This is different.
Yeah. Thank you.
This is not the PetSmart, right?
So we're gonna re-inspect and pen.
This is a different PetSmart.
No,
it's the same PetSmart.
Do we need a motion to pen?
They're not working with Banfield anymore. Motion
to pen.
Second.
Motion and a second to pen this. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, number 15, board may review, discuss, and take action on premise license application for Pet Doctor. Victoria.
So Pet Doctor, so I recently did this inspection. There were a lot of typical concerns, potential violations we saw. The biggest one, that control drug logs have not been kept since March of 2021.
Yes.
So,
at all?
In the inventory logs. And their dispensing administration logs didn't make any sense. They actually had two sets of logs, one in treatment and one in surgery. And so you have a mixture of bottles in this log. So there was no control over the control drugs, is what I was saying. So I did get her response yesterday. She didn't include any of the inventory logs that she supposedly redid, so I've asked her for those. So my ask today is just to direct us to go back specifically to
I'd
them on the drug logs.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to take that a little bit further and, since they did not maintain any drug laws for 2 years, basically, that we contact DEA.
It's probably had multiple responsible vets in that amount of time. Pet doctor has historically been a trouble. This is the one in Tucson, right?
It was one person who.
Who had it the whole time? Because I hired a doctor from pet doctor, and it wasn't, from her recollection, I mean, as far as how she saw it, it was a disaster the whole time she was there.
I think that's why it used to be a 7-doctor practice, and now it's a 1-doctor practice.
Should we just direct you to return, or is there a motion?
No, she made a motion.
I made a motion to report to DEA.
And I seconded that.
Where there are these major discrepancies.
That's the job of the DEA.
Right.
That they need to know.
Send that on to them. I think that's our responsibility.
Call for the question.
Okay.
And reinspect.
Okay, so our motion, though, is we need to make a motion to send it to the DEA?
No, she already did.
To direct staff.
Direct staff.
And he seconded it.
Okay.
Dr. Wright, not he.
Green vote.
Yeah.
Air now.
Just checking with the, okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Let's see. Number 16, board may review, discuss, and take action on licensees and certificate holders who have failed to pay license certificate application and issuance fees that were postponed under COVID-related executive order 2021-16.
Okay, this one's scaring me slightly because I'm hoping I didn't misinterpret the whole free thing for a long time. Was it just postponed, or was it actually?
Are you one of those that didn't pay?
Well, I don't know, because we were waiving license fees.
Oh my God! You?
That's different. It's renewal. Yeah.
I was like, do I have money?
Renewal. The board waived completely all renewal fees in 2020, but the other part was under an executive order where application and issuance fees were postponed.
So you didn't have to pay them at the time when you were applying.
If you're getting a new license.
Yes, whenever you're applying for a license or when you got one issued, those got postponed.
So that wasn't forgiven, that was just postponed. I don't think I realized that.
Yes. And the question now is, what do we do about the ones that haven't complied? And I have a question for Mark. Do sections 3222.18b or 3222.19c, are they applicable? In the situation.
Can you read those?
Want me to repeat that?
No, read them.
Read them. Okay.
Well, can you repeat them? Okay.
3222.18 is B is. Failure to pay the license fee before February the 1st following the expiration of the license shall be a forfeiture of the license. And the license shall not be restored except upon written application to the board and payment of a penalty of $50, blah, blah, blah.
But these are new licenses, not renewals. That's in relation to renewals, right?
Okay.
Well, then we have years of them by now.
3219, okay. Right. Let me go to 3219C. For every renewal of a veterinary license or a veterinary faculty member license, there shall be collected a fee of not more than $400.
But again, that's renewal. We're talking about new ones, right?
Well, the first one dealt with new ones. This one deals with renewals.
I think you're right. We have these different categories. Yeah. One of the options available to you is just to open up a complaint, notify them, and then give them an opportunity to do the right thing.
Yeah.
If not, you'll have all your disciplinary remedies and options available to you.
That's right. I try and be more gentle with this right now because it is around the whole thing. These ones were forgiven. These ones were just delayed. There can be a lot of confusion there.
They've already been notified.
But they were sent
twice. They've been notified twice.
Twice.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I know.
This is
three.
But
they were told at the time more than once.
Yeah. But they're ignoring us now after the second one.
Yes.
So now we have to open a case for each one.
And that's why you take it to that next step to show the seriousness of their
exactly.
So does Arizona have a certified vendor they use for collections?
The AG's office.
The AG's office.
Well, it's Mark's job.
So eventually we might have to do.
Let's open a case first.
So can we just make a motion to open a case?
Yeah, open complaints.
Can I just make a motion and, like, for all of these?
I know, I was like, how many are there?
Yeah, it's us.
It says 12 CBTs.
Seven, 12 CBTs.
Okay, so, agenda item.
There's 19 total.
Five, 16, I make a motion to open a case for the seven veterinarians and 12 CBTs who have not paid.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second, open a case.
And in that.
Open cases.
Open the case, you're gonna send them a letter and say, we're opening a case, if it's paid by this date, we'll close the case, right?
Well, I don't know if you'd say that, but they know what it's, they're gonna be noticed to what the case is open for, so.
Can we do something where it's like, if you do the right thing, we're gonna open the case, but if you do the right thing, we'll automatically close the case if it's paid by this date.
No, we'll have to vote.
Because otherwise, well, this will take forever.
We can make them a promise, we'll dismiss it.
Yeah.
I mean, we can just tell them, we're opening the case, if you pay by February 15th, the case will be closed, if you don't, you'll get a notice to appear before the board.
Yeah, I think you can.
Okay.
Okay.
So open the investigation, asking them to respond and pay the fee, and if they do that timely by certain, you guys are saying by February 15th?
I figured that was 30 days, but.
Few days.
Well, 30 days, you have to write all the letters and open.
Yeah, so end of February, whatever.
So maybe 30 days from the date of the letter?
Yeah.
And then if they respond and submit payment, then the case will automatically be dismissed.
Yeah, could we add, though, in that letter that, you know, we have attempted to communicate this, just because I don't want it to sound like also, like, you know, take it or leave it here. Either you pay or you're gonna get revoked, that kind of, you know, message. So if we could just remind them that, you know.
So there is at least one person that, whose license lapsed in 2020.
Okay, so they didn't renew?
So I don't know what we do with that person.
They still.
Are they practicing?
Are they within the timeframe of reinstating?
Yes.
They moved out of state, can we make, okay.
But if they're still within the window to reinstate, then you'd still want to send it, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And then they can just, you know, we can just, you know, depending upon what they do, we can consider what our options are.
Okay.
But they didn't renew.
Correct.
Well, if they didn't renew, then they're no longer licensed.
But they can still, they can still.
They have, okay.
It's still receivable to the agency.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so, executive director report.
All righty, so the first one, A, the 2022 annual lobbies report, that's just informational only.
Lot of zeros.
We had no expenses to report, like we always do. Number B, license certificate renewal update, I just wanted to give you a sense of where we are with renewals of this halfway through January. So as of a couple days ago, 81.3% of vets have renewed, so that's fantastic. 76.6% of CBTs, 77% of premises, and only 37% of contraries had renewed, but I've been calling them this week to remind them. The great news is we have less than 30 people have actually renewed by paper. So that's how far we've moved, those of you who've been around for a long time, from when we started the system to now. So that's what we always wanted, with that people get used to using the operating system, which is.
And that makes your guys a lot.
Tremendous amount of.
Especially, yes, when you're down staff.
Yes, it was just crazy that we ever did it. So that's where we are with that.
Cool.
Then this week, the governor's executive budget came out, and we got what we asked for, so that's always super positive. So we just hope that that number holds when it gets to the legislature and the final budget is approved. That's all I have for that.
Sounds good. Okay, now down to number 18, board may review, discuss, and take action on SB 1053, veterinary medicine, electronic means.
So
have a question of Mark.
Who's killing this bill?
Yes. Before we get into the implications of this, I would like to get some language interpretation, if I could.
You know, I at this point, I'm really not authorized to interpret. And that's something that I, you know, I'd have to get a formal request and so maybe you could talk to Victoria.
Okay, well, I'd like to point it out for the board where the lack of clarity is. It's on page 3 at the bottom. It says, notwithstanding in any other law, a veterinarian may establish a VCPR through electronic means if all of the following apply. And then it lists a number of items, 1 through 3. And then it goes into the veterinarian, number 3, the veterinarian is able to refer the client to a local veterinarian who can see the animal in person. And then the following sentence says, the client has the option to choose an in-person visit. You've already said the veterinarian can refer an in-person visit with who? You just said that the veterinarian can refer a client to a local veterinarian who can see the animal in person. And then the client has the option to choose an in-person visit. Does that mean with the referring veterinarian?
So here's the problem. You're trying to make sense of this.
Yes.
It does not make sense.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
It does not make sense.
Okay.
I mean, is there any interest in having the parties that put it together come before us to ask questions?
No.
No, because I have no desire to even want this.
They don't have time. It could be dead by the time we get to our next meeting. So what I was going to propose instead is I'm happy to reach out to the person sponsoring this bill and just ask that myself and Victoria be considered in any future stakeholder meetings or discussions. Certainly doesn't mean that they're going to say yes, but that they and also obviously if we can share a couple of our initial concerns with them as well.
And I also, I understand that the Arizona Humane Society was an active part of this. Is that correct, Victoria?
That's what I was told.
Okay. So if, with the board's approval, I'd like to reach out to Steve Hansen, who I have a good working relationship with, and talk to him about
it. We've done bills before.
Talk to him or tell him not to get on.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Just have some conversation with,
I would just...
Well, there.
As a stakeholder, they're directing the vet board to do stuff that is...
We just have to be careful in our capacity as a board member, right?
Well, yeah. Okay. What authorization are you delegating?
So you'd rather not
yeah,
say anything?
Yeah, because if we speak as a board member...
I think that should all go through Victoria. Yeah. If there's people that you think that you should speak to...
Okay,
and
yes.
We've had legislative committees before when we were talking about the allowing control of the vet board over the owners and stuff, and you know what I'm saying.
Right.
So I mean, is it worth forming a legislative committee on this to be able to talk more, or is it not really, is that a little too much?
We probably should have done it a while ago.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I didn't even know about this one. Yeah.
I agree.
So it's a little too late in that, but I hope it's just done.
I heard that it has a very good chance of going through from a
high,
yeah.
It's got to get out of committee first.
Yeah, but...
So...
We have legal counsel in the area that was also working on this with Humane, and they are also thinking it will go through.
They're also what?
Thinking it will go through.
So it would be helpful if whoever has the ability to do so to share with the stakeholders, because even though the board is a stakeholder, they haven't been included in the discussion, which is unfortunate.
Well, that's what I said. Do you want them to come? But everybody said no.
The board can point out... pitfalls of things. If the board doesn't want to take a position, which you don't need to do it normally, you wouldn't, the board and the board of staff are experts on it and have studied this probably longer than these other people.
Right.
And why this language could be improved.
Right. Yes. And clarified. Dr. James, did you say that, I want to make sure I heard you correctly, that the Arizona State Veterinary Board was contacted and we declined?
No, I just said, do you want me to contact the people that I know that were working on this, to ask them these questions? And we've all said, no.
Oh, to come in.
If you want to fix the language, or you want to know why they did something, or you want to have them adjust the language, or you want to, I don't know, but if we're not open to talking to them, we'll wonder why they're not coming.
Well, no, but I just mean that it's gonna, we would run out of, if we waited until next meeting, it could have already gone, you know, through several.
So we need the board wants to delegate to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like we have in the past, Mr. Logan and I would go across the street and talk to people.
Yeah.
To just to provide information to these.
So it'll have to go through the, what's it called? Natural Resources, Water and Energy?
Yeah.
It will go through that committee. So don't mess around. You gotta talk to Shelby, he's the author. Talk to Cena Kerr and ask her, Kit.
And.
She's a chair.
We should include the governor's office in that ask, talking up as well.
Okay. Okay, let's move on from that.
Have we officially directed you?
Yep.
Okay.
I got it.
As long as it's recorded.
Okay, review and approval of minutes. December 14th, 2022, regular session. Ms. Cross, you're gonna abstain.
Madam Chair, I move we approve the December 14th, 2022, regular session minutes.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second to approve the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay, who wants to do the?
I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda, removing A1, A2, A4, A5, A6, A7, and A8. Okay.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes.
And I'll make a motion to approve pending inspection compliance for A2, A5, A7, and A8.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
And then I'll vote to approve pending compliance with A1, A4, and A6.
Okay. Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion passes. All right.
Is that your best friend here?
Yep, we do. Okay, summary of current events. The time and place. Even though we don't want to hear it because it's poor.
I got your call.
Woohoo, so did I. So.
I had to.
Oh, did they take your car?
My company vehicle, yeah. They don't let you keep driving it.
Shucks. Okay. Now we're going to do the call to the public, and we are going to
have one.
Yep, we are going to call Mr. Johnson.
Let him know that our Naval Investigative Committee member is a hunter and a fisher.
I've talked to him twice
those
now.
Were his hobbies.
I want everyone to know. My personal, non-paid.
You reached 602-348-3359. 602-348-3359.
Boy, are you giving him some benefit.
Can we let our board chair leave a message?
He does. Then you can call me back.
You reached 602-348-3359. 602-348-3359. Give me a message. Thank you.
Hello,
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Well, at least we have that on.
Okay, do a motion to, okay, our future meeting date is Wednesday, February 15th. Still here? No.
It's
we're in room C.
C across the
hall. Oh, across the hall. It's like
we're not back
home
yet.
Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay.
Second.